Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it. TV Club, I am really excited for this episode. I had to bring on some just brilliant minds to get into this week's TV news because so much is happening. And in the end of the year, so many shows that aired, so many things that are shifting, shows that are getting canceled. I had to bring people together who know how to discuss the topics. So you know Lindy West and Megan Hatcher-Mays from Text Me Back, their amazing podcast where every week they talk about politics, what's going on in their lives, their text threads. They just bring together everything with such a politically smart point of view, sincerity. It's just one of my favorites to listen to. So I'm so glad you joined me. Megan, Lindy, hello.
Hello.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us and for being so nice.
I know. It's like, yo, we are smart. Oh my gosh.
I hope we can do this interview by the end of the year because I need you both to help me make sense of so many things that are going on. Let's just dive into all of the TV news that has come out recently. The Critics' Choice TV nominations came out last week. Great shows that came out in 2023. I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
So many good shows have come out. Question, was The Morning Show one of the shows that came to mind for you? Or was it a show you watched?
I did not know that it was still on. How many?
I remember, am so sorry.
I think I watched the pilot. I think. But that feels like 10 years ago. And maybe I'm thinking of another show. Okay, it was before COVID. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I remember being like, that was fine. Like, I didn't watch any more of it, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, but
what the show was in its pilot and what it is today, completely different shows. If you jumped now, you would be like, what is happening? What do you mean? They like are getting bought by a space station. What?
Yes. Okay. Now I'm hooked.
Yeah, that sounds better than what I watched.
That's really good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, in the beginning, it was this kind of truthful telling of the Me Too experience on a morning show. It pulled from real life. And then somewhere around like, when COVID happened, they gave the main character COVID and she basically goes into a fever dream and rethinks her whole life. And they go, let's just redo the whole show around this, jump ahead 2 years and nothing that happened before happened. And now we're all just brand
new. Wow. Well, it certainly sounds like one of the best TV shows of 2023. What do I know? I never watch it. I have like a vague sense of it existing. No offense, of course, to Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
No, not at all. I would say that's probably Apple TV's blame. If there's one thing Apple TV hates doing, it is promoting the shows they make.
I know. It's weird because they low-key have some of my favorite shows. Like I had like a free month of Apple TV and I watched them all and I was like, hey, Severance, this is nice. This is good. I never got around to watching Morning Show, but that does, the way you describe it reminds me of, and again, I love this woman, Shonda Rhimes, but every season of her show starts out like hard hitting, it's scandal, we're in DC, we're doing this stuff. And then by season three, it's like, the president is a Yeti. And I mean that with all love. Like that's, I love a good, complete psychotic arc.
Oh God! Like one of the news anchors, her brother helped participate in January 6th. She goes to orbit with a Elon Musk stand-in, who's played by John Hamm.
Oh yes,
I hate that.
I mean, you're not saying anything that I don't like.
I got to get into this.
You're selling me
my subscription.
You're selling me the show harder than Apple TV ever did.
At the Critics' Choice TV nominations, The Morning Show got the most nominations of any show, leading fans of the show to go, what, how, why? Like, we're fans. I watch every episode, and I'm scratching my head like, okay, sure.
Maybe the critics don't know that there are other shows on.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. There are so many shows. And I don't know. I think it's a case of a lot of big names. They brought in John Hamm, so I think that got a lot of just attention. And when it comes to things like the Emmys, I know most of the Academy voters aren't actually watching things. So when there's like a Ted Lasso sweep, I know it's because they're like, everybody told me that's good. But when it's the Critics' Choice, I'm like, wait, what?
I'm yeah, like, that's a critic. Weird
stuff, right?
I mean, I remember when we were making Shrill on Hulu, my show. you know, I'd never made a TV show before. And I do specifically remember having calls that were like, okay, how hard do we want to go for awards? Do we want to try to get awards or do we not want to try to get awards? And I was like, try to get awards. And everyone else was like, let's not try to get awards. And then I was like, oh, awards are fake. Okay. Oh, never mind.
You dedicate money and press kits to, and you get your name out there and people vote. And even with critics, that's how it works. Even the stuff that gets covered by critics, it's did someone go, hey, let's really do a PR push and make sure people get screeners and get this in the hands of people? Or did they just go, eh, when it's out, people will see it maybe. So,
I mean, really, I just wanted to win an award so I can wear my wedding dress again. That's a huge priority for me. It still has not happened.
It's you know, if the morning show can do it, I truly believe who
this
knows
podcast this podcast is going to win an Emmy. You just wait.
But the morning show won. It got the most. A lot of other shows nominated that you would expect to see: the Marvelous Miss Maisel, The Bear. A lot of people upset because The Bear was nominated as a comedy instead of a drama, which is just a continuing controversy for the show. Have you seen it, either of you?
Well, one thing about me is that I haven't seen any good show.
So, I was just going to say the same thing.
That. Yeah.
I feel like I can't watch any show that I think might be stressful. And I get that The Bear is probably not. So I don't know. But I was like, everyone seems to be yelling in a kitchen. I don't know.
Working at a restaurant is stressful.
That's a lot. That's very stressful to me. So I have a tendency, and I think Lindy's the same, where I really love to just watch something I've already seen. Very cozy, very comfortable. I know what to expect. And ideally, if there's like 78 seasons of it, that's my sweet spot. You know what I mean? But for shows like that, like prestige dramas, I will wait until every single episode has aired and then I will watch it straight through. That is easier for my mental health to be like, I know that this is going to end, instead of getting invested. And then, I don't know, maybe the chef turns into a bear after season 3. I don't want to be surprised like that. You know what I mean? I want to know what I'm getting into. Like a morning show style, the bear sends a bear to space. I don't know. That could happen. It sounds like.
It could happen.
I just like want to be ready. So I'll just watch reruns of something I've already seen until every single episode of The Bear airs, and then I will watch it.
I think that's really fair. It is a stressful show. The way that they do it, like they put every episode out so you can binge. I think they have to because it's so stressful.
I don't want to be in suspense and that kind of stress. You know what I mean? That's how I watched Breaking Bad. I was like, I cannot live my life week to week like this. I have to watch it all. And the same is kind of true for Better Call Saul, although I haven't gotten into it. But it's like, this is too stressful for me because I'm just a baby, really, at the end of the day.
Same. And I'm also weird. And when I realized we would be discussing the top shows of 2023, I went and looked up the top shows of 2023, and some of them I haven't even heard of, and none of them have I watched, except for Jury Duty, which I watched a few episodes of with Megan at Megan's house, and that is the extent of my knowledge, because I just watch Antiques Roadshow on Amazon Prime.
It feels a little bit like we're regressing. You like, because Linda used to be a television and movie critic, and I feel like you used to really be like up to speed, like what was going on. And now I think we're both just, and I would like sometimes go with you to like movie screenings and stuff and whatever, and now I think we're both just like, goodbye, I'm so tired.
I think you have to take breaks, especially when you're a critic and you watch so much, you get into it, you have to pay so much attention for so long. I've hit a wall where like I like had to step back from TV criticism. I like love to focus on stuff for the podcast, but I'm gonna break a TV club rule right now. I took a break from TV for like a week.
Ooh.
And I watched movies.
Films.
Ooh. Old movies.
Ooh.
And like, well, and also a new, I watched May December. That's what started it. And I was like, I feel something awakening. I was like, whoa. So what I can just watch a movie, like an old one that nobody's talking about, no one cares about, that right. It's just going to feel good.
Yeah, oh right. Goodness. There's no it's news crazy. Peg. You're nope. not like, oh, this is, yeah. I got to get this review done by the premiere or whatever.
Yeah.
No. It's not just for cutting... pleasure. Just doing entertainment for pleasure. Can you imagine?
It's not a cutting satire of our times. It's just nice.
Okay. Just nice.
Sold.
Yeah, I watched Elf for the first time.
Elf is really good.
So cozy. What a cozy.
What a great time.
It's just so pleasant, you know?
I feel
it's
like really there's been like an Elf backlash, I feel like.
Oh,
the
no.
last I don't know where I've seen this, so don't quote me, but I feel like people have to take nice things and complain about them, which okay, yeah. I do that, but when other people do it, it's wrong. And there's nothing wrong with Elf. Elf's really funny and cozy and nice.
Yeah. So. There's a little bit of backlash of like things millennials like, you know, it's like normal. Yeah. I think normal intergenerational yeah. stuff where like Gen Z are like, that's embarrassing. That's cringy.
Yeah, it's cringe. It's it like, doesn't sure. have Riz and
whatever. just to reiterate, I'm very old and I don't care. I just want to be comfortable.
I just want to be comfortable.
I await your arrival at my destination because you will get there. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
And I hope you have as much fun as I do being here because I love it. Oh, I love
having
it.
A blast.
The next stop in our TV news this week, George Santos agreed to do an interview with Z-Way. Z-Way tweeted and was like, I think you'd be a fabulous guest. A lot of people were pushing for this. His people responded immediately. George did, said, let's do it. A little bit later was like, it was so nice chatting with you, which made it unclear if, and you know, and obviously these things happen. By the time people are tweeting about it, the interview probably was already recorded. And so it's like, I don't know, did it already happen? And he's saying, thank you for doing it. Or was this just a pre-screening before an interview? We don't really know. But pretty polite vibes for an interview he should be terrified about if he is in any way aware of who Z-Way
right.
is.
Or enraged
yeah.
afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
The thank you, that was so nice, was the most baffling part for sure.
Yeah.
That part confused me.
It's pure hubris. The thing is, George Santos has fallen prey to the scammer's curse, which is every scammer thinks they're a genius because they get away with it for a really long time. And there's no reason this should have gone on as long as it did, by the way. Should have, like, all of his prolific scamming was known before he even got elected. And for whatever reason, New York Democrats did not take advantage of it when they had the chance. And so when you're a scammer and you get that far down the road of scamming without facing any consequences, you think you are the king of scam, the king of fraud. And that's what he thinks is happening. He thinks he's, you know, hot shit because he had, up until this point, up until he was literally removed from Congress and like not faced a single consequence and maybe is facing some fraud, like federal fraud charges, allegedly TBD. So I'm sure he's thinking, just like every idiot criminal, he's going to go on Dateline and be like, no, I didn't. I didn't do it.
He'll never gonna catch convince, me. He's going to convince Keith that he's innocent. No, you're not.
Like, no, you're actually really dumb.
Yeah.
He's so dumb and just got really lucky, I think, with his scammer lifestyle. And so to come at Z-Way, one of the most, and I again say this with a lot of love, one of the most stressful individuals I have ever laid my eyes upon, and think you're going to outsmart Z-Way in a Z-Way interview? This man has been destroyed and he doesn't even know it. If they have filmed an interview, he's already dead and he doesn't even know.
I think no matter what it comes out like, he will believe he did an amazing job, that he handled the questions well, that he was totally... It's gonna be great. Some people are upset. They don't feel she should give him a platform, and sure, we shouldn't encourage this kind of thing. And to that I say, well, George Santos is currently selling $200 cameos.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think that Z-Way is one of the few people I think you'd want to get to be the person to give a platform to the world's worst people, because she very effectively destroys everyone who goes on the show, like even people she likes.
Yeah, even her friends.
You know,
it's like, this is just a rude Adam Pauly, and it's
just foolishness to have gone. If he did, very foolish. I would not have advised it. Would not have advised it. But he's too smart for his own good, that George Santos. But also, what's he gonna? I don't know. I guess I shouldn't say what's he gonna do. Run for president? Because
Megan
might. I don't
Megan,
know.
Megan, no.
Don't. Yeah, I'm like, sorry. Stop. I put that out into the ether. But
there'd be at least 20% of voters who would be like, that's kind of funny.
I saw him on Z-Way. I kind of liked him.
Yeah. I love the idea there's like a crossover between people who watch Z-Way and people who might vote for George Santos. I guess that is also possible. But the thing is, he is one of the few Republican scammers who actually did eventually face a consequence, unlike Donald Trump, right? So it's like, I think it's okay. This is, if/when he goes on Z-Way, it's mostly just going to be the most vicious dunking country is seen in some time. So it's,
I mean,
right.
I guess
it's
like okay. Arguably it's just another step in the clownification of America.
Correct.
Is it our greatest problem that we need to be think piecing and discoursing about? No. Who cares?
Nope.
Don't worry about it.
Hey,
I don't know.
You know what? It is a circus, so go for it.
It's fine. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not fine, but it's not my fight that I'm gonna pick.
Yeah,
you know,
there's other things. I'm gonna watch it and I'm gonna laugh. I'm not gonna buy a cameo. I don't think you should put money directly in his pocket, but you know, laugh at the jokes.
Yeah, also sure. I mean, I will say that there is something actually really sweet and cozy about a man going on Z-Way and not even knowing what happened and just moving out of this life. Like, that's so can you imagine how nice to be,
it's
that
like,
kind of a person to just be like, oh, that
it's
was
like
nice
insulated
it's like a TV show or a movie where like the main character doesn't know he's dead. He's like a ghost and he doesn't know that he died. What I mean? And then like Haley Joel Osment has to be like, you died.
Yo.
Here's a video of it.
Yeah,
it was on Instagram at Z-Way. Oh no.
And the memories come flashing back. Every person who's done the show, I almost want to do a post interview. Like, so what changed?
That should be a podcast. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to pitch that. That's an idea.
A good one.
our last bit of TV news. We were going to talk about political TV shows and stuff. And obviously one of the best ones is, The Good Wife, a classic.
Never watched it.
I did watch it. I actually did watch that one. I got real hooked on it up until that weird fight between Juliana Margulies and Archie Panjabi. And now I feel like I've got some additional context for what might have allegedly gone on the set of The Good Wife.
So I basically watched up until the point when it got weird with them. Like when you could tell they were filming in different locations and using stand-ins and like a lot of like
so weird
just like voiceover stuff to make it seem like they were in the same room, and I was like, the energy of the show is off. And then Juliana Margulies did a, and also of the morning show to also she's in that now
for now.
We'll see. Well, so she did a podcast, and I guess this podcast had been out for like a week and no one really cared. And suddenly people actually started listening to it and posting clips of it on Twitter because she says some wild stuff. She says that Black and brown people are brainwashed to hate Jewish people. She said that because she plays a lesbian on TV, that's the morning show where she plays the love interest for Reese Witherspoon's character, who also gets her brother arrested for participating in January 6th. It's just very all out there. But because she plays that lesbian character, she understands the gay struggle. And that's why she can't understand why gay and queer people are supporting Gaza and Palestine, and that we're also brainwashed. She said that she has always been there to support the Black community. And during 2020, during George Floyd, she was one of the first people to post thoughts on her Instagram, a thing she said with complete sincerity. And wow. She's shocked that Black people aren't standing with Israel now. And that those are the comments. And
wow. Well,
the reaction was swift. She put out an apology pretty quickly through her team to be like, hey, I didn't mean to sow discord and separation. I'm just always trying to bring people together. But she also was kind of like, but I said what I said.
Standing on business, I did say it.
Yeah. Among the worst whiffs of any celebrity statement I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
It's so multifaceted. Like, she failed in so many directions.
And congrats, honestly, congrats. It's unbelievable stuff, Juliana.
Satirical. I mean, it doesn't feel real. It feels like
you have to love the I posted a black box on Instagram, because even at the time, like every activist I knew was like,
why are you doing that?
You have to do more than post the black box. Like, even then, there was like critiques about that as a form of activism.
The backlash was at the same time.
Yes, like, it was happening like concurrently.
Yes.
With the posting of the boxes.
Like, we don't even do that anymore. For a while, it was like there was a different color box for every tragedy. And now we don't even do the boxes anymore. Also, to announce that your support of black people not being murdered by the police was conditional on them later not doing whatever you want. I mean, like,
activism isn't necessarily transactional in that way. I mean, it's very weird to like have that kind of sense of entitlement for your support. And it's like, after listening to that podcast, why would they want to be, why would they want to work with you? You're kind of mean. Yeah. You seem sort of mean and strange. So
I don't like the things you're saying. And so, you know, as we said, there was a big feud on The Good Wife between Archie Punjabi and Juliana Margulies. And people didn't know what happened. Why all of a sudden can they not even film scenes together? And I think this podcast answered all of those questions.
Certainly, a layer of context has been provided for sure.
I don't even need to know exactly what Juliana Margulies said to RT. I just know she said something. I just know she said something on that set, and she said probably a lot of things, and people were like, can we just,
I mean, because you have a filter on when you're doing any kind of an interview, even if you are an entitled celebrity who says whatever. What on earth does she say off of the podcast? I mean, oh no, ma'am.
Well, good thing she got that good morning show money. Oh, she'll probably be fine, to be honest. I'm not worried about Juliana Margulies, but
she hasn't faced a single repercussion. No one is calling for her to, they didn't even really ask her to apologize. She just kind of did it because I think she saw how angry people were. But there's been no threats to her career, unlike people who have spoken out to stand with Gaza, who have lost jobs. So seems like things will be fine, and she'll probably be back on the next season of The Morning Show to I don't know, be weird.
Go to space
again. Get her girlfriend out of prison because she helped get her arrested. I could see them doing that. Yeah.
She can go to space and teach the Martians a lesson about justice,
inclusivity. Yeah,
yeah,
and so, Instagram boxes.
Yes, and how important those are. Make sure you're always posting your Instagram.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
That was the TV news I had to talk through for the past week, because I've just been like, what is, there's so much happening. Wow, can we please just slow down with all of this? And now it's time to slow down, I feel like. It's that part of the year where if you send me an email, I'm going to act like I didn't see it, because why are you pretending we're doing anything? And it's when, you know, it's the holiday season. You get to start putting like rum in your coffee, like on Christmas Eve, and you just watch TV all day, and it's the best. So I have been cuddling up with my favorite cuddly shows. We wanted to talk to you two about the shows that you love to kind of revisit, those shows that maybe you're nostalgic for that make the season. And you sent over some amazing lists of just great stuff. But I'm curious if there's anything in particular that you're digging into over these next few weeks.
There are some TV shows that meet that brief for me, but for me, I become like a real movie person over the holidays. So Lord of the Rings is my absolute go-to like holiday, you know, immersive experience. I think, as I've noted, I really love something that you can just immerse yourself in for like 40 years at a straight and you don't have to get up off the couch. And because they're three Hobbits, three Lord of the Rings, there's a whole mini series, you know. Oh, okay, Rings of Power, that's a TV show. You know, it's like, yeah. It's like, and you know, I don't know. I love a good secular Christmas.
Have you checked it out?
Yes. I've just finished my rewatch, in fact, because we have some big plans to discuss it. It's good. It's really good. It's one of those shows. I guess it's kind of like the heydays of Game of Thrones, where it takes you a minute to get the wheels spinning a little bit. But once you kind of figure out what's going on, it's like, oh, who's that mysterious stranger? So there's a lot of like really fun reveals about different characters and who they actually are and who they're pretending to be and all of that. So that's really fun. I love a good Christmas time, you know, pour out the eggnog, get out the Pennsylvania Dutch, crack open my Blu-ray copy of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, because I will continue to purchase physical copies of things. I don't trust
same.
The streamers.
I know, same.
And just like watch that for like the entire week between like Christmas and New Year's, like over and over again. It's alarming what I get up to, but that's what I like. I love that.
I'm not too far off from that. I love to dig into kind of weird stuff that's not particularly Christmassy, but just feels good because it's like, yeah, in a world.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Lord of the Rings is a little Christian allegory. Close enough, you know?
I will say, if I'm answering it honestly, like what am I actually watching? I am switching back and forth between a rewatch of Wheel of Time. I've been which nobody likes except me, I think.
season and loved it. I did.
Okay, good. It's good. It. Thank you. I have read the books, which
is a
lot. So I'm rewatching that, and then sometimes that gets a little bit too stressful because I'm like Megan, and then I will switch over to my current coziest watch, which is, I mentioned it earlier, British Antiques Roadshow. There are several seasons on Amazon, and which is actually annoying because it on Amazon, it'll show you how many seasons exist, but it doesn't have all of them. But so it implies that there are 43 seasons for me to watch. Oh, yeah. And then there's actually only three available, and it is maddening. So like I will watch Wheel of Time until I get too stressed out because they're like yelling at each other and there's monsters. And then I will switch over to Antiques Roadshow for like an hour, and then I'll switch back. But also last night, another thing that I find extremely cozy is like any kind of like a Dateline, a Forensic Files.
Mm-hmm.
Any documentary about a cult. So like, obviously I've burned through both Twin Flames documentaries.
Okay, I was going to ask, did you do both Twin Flames?
I did both.
Love His One, Cult of Mother God.
So I don't have Max, but I'm about to do a trial so that I can watch that one. I just started last night this, the one about the evil doctor on Netflix. God.
I haven't watched
Crakeyes.
Yeah. Whew. I haven't watched that one yet, but I know him from 2020.
Yeah,
his 2020 episode.
He was on The Con, and then they also did a Scam Goddess episode. So actually, I was we've heard all of this.
I hadn't heard any of it before.
None of the other things had the actual like relatives of the victim. So I like that part of it because everything else talks about all the people who died, but you don't actually like know that he did this entire documentary with footage with like the girl from Russia. And like after they left with the cameras, a week later, she's like, this is a piece of crap. I'm dying. It's so good.
It's so devastating. It's tough because there's nothing funnier than a scammer in a certain way. Like, but it's so tragic, especially when you're seeing these interviews with these people who lost their loved ones for truly no reason, because this man is a maniac. But the part that's funny is like, and it's not funny, it's horrible, but where I'm at in the series, I think there's like 5 or 6 episodes and I'm on episode 2. He's planning his wedding.
His wedding? To
this journalist. And he's like, yeah, so the Pope is going to officiate.
Yeah, I know.
We're having it at the Pope's house. And Putin's going to be there and Obama's going to be there. And she's like, oh, how's that going to go? Yeah. And she sort of tries to like draw a line at Putin. She's like, hun, babe, do we have to have Putin?
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, we have to invite Putin or else he'll be offended. And then like, what's the, I love watching the part where the scammer is barreling toward the thing. Like, what do you mean? They sent out invitations. And then I'm like, if I'm the fiance, at no point am I like, okay, what's Putin's address? I got to mail this invitation. Like, there's so many, obviously, who am I to judge? Perhaps
he did get a lot of press coverage around this like experimental surgery. So it seemed legit. He did work at like the best hospital in Sweden.
Yeah.
And had like 5 cell phones because he was like, oh, I work at all these different hospitals. And there were
some validators, you know,
to back him up if she did a Google search.
I mean, they let that guy Dr. Death do spinal surgery on people Dr. for Death years.
Oh my God.
It's like, and there's really nothing funny about that, but it is just wild to listen to the podcast. And you know, there's a show on Peacock which actually is pretty good.
Which is actually Joshua really Jackson. Good.
Yeah.
And coming back, the second season is going to be about this other doctor, the one who did the fake tracheas. So they're doing like
a I am sat
for season 2 of Dr. Death.
I'm sat. I'm available. I will be watching. But it's just crazy. It's like what men in particular can kind of get away with, where it's like, well, he had a really powerful validator at this one hospital, and we guess we all just thought he could do spinal surgery, even though we watched him do it and were personally horrified and vomiting because of how badly he did it. And we're like, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, I could start a cult. You guys are kind of dumb. Like, it might be kind of easy to start a cult.
We could absolutely
or be a surgeon, I guess.
I love the thing with Dr. Death and this guy, trachea guy. Like, you really realize that the higher up you go in the job market, kind of the less they check. And if you I have to submit like a resume and a bunch of references to work at Burger King or whatever, but I could just walk into the Swedish hospital and be buongiorno, it's me, Polly Macaroni.
Greg at Johns Hopkins says you're great. Get in there.
Yeah. And literally at one point he was like, well, did you even look at like my files of what I did in Russia? And they were like, no, we couldn't get access. And he's like, exactly. So you don't even know how good.
Bam. Yeah. Oh, you don't speak Russian? Too bad for you. Because this is very complimentary.
In the world.
Yeah, it says.
With his bare hands. And yeah, that's how good I am.
And yeah, because it's Russian for A+.
The Netflix doc on that is really good. The definitive watch on it, you know, there is an episode of The Con that's pretty good, but I think the Netflix doc gets into all of it. The Love is One cult about Mother God. I have never watched a documentary and immediately thought so quickly, there's going to be a part 2 to this. It's like it's still, even though she's dead, it's like it's still filmed as the cult is happening now. And you see like, oh, these like 5 people very soon are going to have a breakthrough that they were in a cult and did a horrible thing. And they haven't reached that point yet. And
okay, I'm going to start it today.
I have to recommend it. People ask me to talk about it if I thought it was good. Probably my favorite cult watch of the year.
Ooh.
It's up there with... The Deep End, the doc that came out last year about Teal Swan's cult.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched that one. Oof. You have to.
I listened to the podcast about her, but I don't think I've watched the documentary. I will put it on the list.
Yes. After that podcast, Teal Swan herself hired a documentary team and a cult investigator to prove that she was not running a cult. She gave them full access. Did all these interviews with the like investigator, these psych teams, the documentary crew, like let them look at everything. And as they're making the documentary, they slowly are all like, oh yeah, no, she's definitely.
No, she's 1000%. You know, to paraphrase a great tweet, my I'm not running a cult t-shirt is raising a lot of questions already answered by my shirt.
And in the middle of it, it's like the crew and everyone is like, Teal, it is a cult. Like, these are our findings. And she loses it, kicks them all out. And so they do like 4 episodes and it has to end, but it's so clear. And the Love Is One doc has like that level of background and video where it's like they were recording everything they did, every single thing they did as a cult, they did to this woman who they viewed as God. It's all written down. It's all filmed.
And, I mean, that's like with the Twin Flames where everything, where all of the, it was all on Zoom. So they have all the Zooms of them being like, you're trans. Like, no, no, like, you're trans now.
No, you are. No, I don't think I am.
Your name is Dan. Like, and the thing about the Twin Flames that I love, and it's so easy to watch a show and sit at home and be like, I would never get tricked by these people.
Yeah.
And I want to be generous. And the whole point is that obviously they're preying on vulnerable people. Mm-hmm. And so I recognize that. The Twin Flames couple, Jeff and Shalaya, are so uncharismatic.
That's
I cannot believe. And like, I was watching it and I was like, this makes Keith Raniere look like a god. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot believe that people are into Jeff. Jeff, like, at least
I'm like, what? He has no riz. He has no, like, he's horrible. Half
it's crazy.
There's them being like, we're rich and you're broke, idiots.
Yes. And they don't even seem to like each other that much. It's like, how, what is happening? It's like, you guys are watching these two play out their loving Twin Flames relationship and you believe that Twin Flames exist after observing these two weirdos? Again, I'm trying to maintain a generosity of heart and spirit, but it's like these two are some of the weirdest lumps of clay, like unseasoned mashed potatoes I've ever seen. What is happening?
Like, at least Keith, like, look, this is not a Keith Raniere stan account, but like, at least Keith did like, had like the volleyball. Like, he had some kind of, like, a little bit of style.
A little style. He, like you know,
he was weird.
Eye contact, really intense eye contact, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, you're so pretty. What a
decent haircut, like, you know, sure.
Like, you're ugly and lucky that I even give you advice.
And then right. Like, it's, like, because I remember watching the NXIVM documentaries and being like, who would ever fall for this? And now I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, really, if you're willing to lie to people, people are so desperate for like certainty and guidance and help and, you know, comfort and to not feel lonely and scared. Man, if you're willing to lie, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
And then you can just be Jeff screaming at people and calling his wife fat and being like, we're the greatest, most epic couple of all time.
Yeah. And that's another one where I do think we're going to get a part two because they like apparently had their baby and they've in weird ways gotten even stronger and bigger as these documentaries have come out because they've all just like tightened up with all the backlash. Right.
They're not dead or in prison. Like, they're just still doing it.
And technically not really breaking the law because they're like, our cult's totally on Facebook and Zoom. What are we doing? Like, just close your computer screen
Well, they do. If they want to stay out of prison, they should stop having people come live at their house and work
they
for free.
They should stop having free, like, people come live with them for free and do their laundry and take care of everything. They should stop that part. Yes.
Yes. At once. They should stop.
And
all
hate
of it.
To give a cult
but, you know.
I really hate to give cult leaders advice, but.
But if I had one piece of advice for Jeff and Shalaya, like, get a little flair, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, Look, I don't like Keith at all, but he's,
okay, he if has, you say so.
My t-shirt that says I don't like Keith. No, but I just like, you know, Keith has an aesthetic. Jeff and Shalaya have nothing.
I think when you watch Love is One, you're going to be an Amy Carlson convert. She is my new favorite cult leader. She has, like, not just the style. She's not more evil than Keith, but, like, a similar just level of self-obsession and just inability to see anyone else as worthy of it, like, of like, generosity, anything. She abandoned, like, 3 children. She straight up just, like, left them at her sister's house. They all had dinner one day, and she just was kind of like, you know, I realized that, like, love is my higher calling, and I am a mother god. And they were like, okay, Amy, see you tomorrow. Cool. Kids up.
Very, very loving of you, and have a blast. Pissing off the entire island of Hawaii.
Yeah, she used to, like, work at McDonald's. She, like, did all this stuff. And then basically she just got really into, like, a group of kids who love fish and the Grateful Dead too much, started doing acid and shrooms all the time, smoking pot, drinking, and realized that, like, if she just gave them all a little bit of motherly guidance, they would take care of her. And she does it. And then slowly she, like, obviously starts dating a lot of the, like, younger guys in the group. And sure. She tells them that they, well, there's really just one at first. And she's like, you're Father God. And that's why you're so important to this mission. You're Father God. And then a few months later, a hotter guy comes. And she's like, well, wait a second. I've had a revelation. There are two Father Gods. And so you're Father God of time, and this is the Father God of the universe.
Okay, great. Madeline Langle, get a grip.
But then an even hotter guy came, and then...
My God, she's so lucky.
Yeah, there's literally all these, like, hot guys who are like, you're telling me I can live here for free and do meth, and, like, you aren't gonna care? And she's like, yeah, all you have to do is make some Facebook videos. And they're like, yeah, I'm down. And then the third Father God is the one who, like, basically ends up killing her. And
okay, spoiler, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, I thought everybody knew she died. That's, like, the whole reason they
made it. No, I did know that she died. But
I thought that she died of, like, cancer or something.
Well, but I was like, fine. Oh, I can't wait to find out how she died.
you'll see. It's
all right. All right.
It's not as clear cut as I'm making it. He's obviously not in jail because he's
oh, boy.
Yeah. Amazing. So there's going to be a part 2. I have definitely been nestling up with all of my favorite just, like, cult and crime docs. There was another one that just came out on Stars and Max that is about, it's like the First Lutheran Church. I did want to mention this one because no one is talking about it. I'm literally only going to be able to find this by looking at my phone and seeing what I have recently watched. Because it's one of those weird cult docs that, like, is on Max, but was originally by Stars. But because it aired on A&E, they're able to put it on Max. But it's weird. It's about this just, like, it's kind of, if you saw Shiny Happy People on Amazon, it's sure kind did. Of an extension of that church. No, not the way down. It's literally about just, like, a fundamentalist church that still exists today, but it gets into, they run those schools that they sent Paris Hilton to.
Those horrible, like militaristic, like, teen academies. Yeah. Like,
it's the church that runs all of those schools, and it gets into just, like, how they created this crazy foundation and network of schools where they basically hide kids. And it interviews a lot of ex-students, and it's really good. And I'm going to film it. So I'm going to record myself saying the name of it later so we can cut it in here. but that was another one that I watched last weekend. There's just so many good scammer and cult docs right now. So that's my cozy watch, too.
Well, you know, it's like they won't raise the minimum wage. And so now everybody has to run a scam.
Has to run a scam.
That's the economy now.
God bless them.
So. Yeah.
I mean,
it's gonna bother me so much.
It's so. Like, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
I just feel like once they start to tell you that you need to go out and recruit more people to sell the whatever it is,
leggings.
Yeah. The leggings or the you know, Zoom seminars or mm-hmm. whatever it was that NXIVM did, the like whatever fake
were they just like self help tapes. Yeah.
They were like, yeah, yeah. I mean, as soon as that happens, why are you not like, oh, you know? Like, have we not?
Yeah. Like, you know what? I think I might be in a cult.
Do other people not ravenously consume podcasts and documentaries about this?
No.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Yeah. When I was watching the Twin Flames ones, I was like, you guys, did you miss it? Did you not watch Seduced? You should watch Seduced.
Yeah, but they're like, you know, selling a vision of what your life could be, which I'm sure is really like attractive if you're in a place in your life that is really bad. And I think like the LuLaRoe documentary is like a good example of that, where it's like, a lot of the women who ended up selling those leggings had a very like, you know, very domestic life. Again, that's not an insult, but, you know, just like we're at home a lot and, you know, and that really provided them with a way to like have an outward facing thing to do. So I can see why that was like, yeah, I could be like an entrepreneur from my home and I can still maintain like close relationships with my family. I'm not like working outside of the home, so I can still be close with my family and all that stuff, but still like have this thing. And it's like, nope, it was just ugly, gross leggings.
That it's also, I mean,
I'm so sorry.
With the LuLaRoe stuff, and really kind of all these pyramid schemes where you're selling a product that are kind of less culty, where, you know, Jeff and Shalaya are selling you an idea. Mm-hmm. But like, they're all the same. People are looking for a community, which is like the same as QAnon. Like, people are looking for a group of people that they can talk to. And it's devastating. Devastating.
Insurrectionist Next Door, a great doc that came out this year about QAnon and people who got arrested in January 6th and sort of how they ended up in the cult of QAnon. It's made by Nancy Pelosi's daughter, which is interesting because she just kind of goes up to people and is like, so you wanted to kill my mom. What's up with that? We talk about it. And they want to talk about it with her because they are so lonely. They are like, please come into my house. Talk to me. You want to talk about that? And the
doc, I almost got jury duty for a January 6th defendant. I got called for jury duty and I went in and they were like, you know, you have to go through voir dire where they ask you questions to see whether or not they want to pick you for the jury. And I used to work at an organization called Indivisible. It's this huge, like very progressive, grassroots organization. I don't work there anymore, to be clear, but at the time I did. And I was like, no chance I'm getting picked for this jury. And the January 6th guy's lawyer was like, you hate Donald Trump, don't you?
I was like, yeah, okay, I can go home
then. And I was like, yeah, I mean, if that's the question at issue in this trial, then no, I cannot be fair because I do hate Donald Trump, but I don't think he's here. Like, I don't think Donald Trump is here. And the guy who was standing trial had been accused, and he was later convicted, but he was accused of stealing a coat rack and a bottle of whiskey out of a member of Congress's office. And ultimately, his lawyer determined I could not be impartial in the case that I was not selected for the January 6th insurrectionist jury. Shocking, I know, but you know.
And the documentary I was mentioning on Max is called Let Us Pray. Pray is spelled P-R-E-Y. Let Us Pray.
Spooky.
Ministry of Scandals. And it's about survivors of the IFB church. There's like four episodes. It's really good. It goes into how they built those schools. Let Us Pray.
Spooky.
There we go.
Spooky.
Oh my gosh. We're coming up on the end here. I feel like we've given people a lot of great things to watch while they like rot on their couches.
Veg out. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be doing. But is there one last recommendation you want to give the people?
Can I do two? Because Lindy reminded me that Lindy reminded me that I did watch Jury Duty this year, which is one of the top shows of 2023, I guess. I think time means
according
to
the listicle that I read.
And I will just say that show was so good. It was very sweet and it was very, really, really funny. And I know that the main guy, Ronald, is still working out his feelings about being tricked to the level that he was tricked. But it's very cute that he has since like become good friends with James Marsden. It's a wonderful show.
And he got an overall deal with Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, and he got $100,000. So shouts to Ronald. But it was one of the few shows where that I felt like it really made me feel, I just like to watch shows. Like, having formerly worked in politics, it's really difficult for me to watch any show that is like, again, a cutting satire on our times. It's like, I already do that. Like during the day, I don't want to spend my evenings also doing that. So Jury Duty was really great for that purpose. And then the other show that was also very good for this purpose is Abbott Elementary. It's like one of the few shows that I actually make sure I watch every week because it's just so pleasant and so nice. And like one of the funniest shows in a really long time. So those are my top two favorite shows of the year. I didn't watch anything serious for the last 365 days. Thanks.
Those are both good Christmas watches.
I'll do two since Megan did two.
Yeah.
Everyone has to watch Southside, which is not new. And it's over, I think.
Yeah.
But I feel like not enough people talked about it to me and watched it. I feel like I've never seen anything as good in my life. I've never laughed harder. Everyone needs to watch Southside, and then please resurrect it and bring it back to me. And then if I'm being really honest about what am I watching this holiday season, well, a little show I found by accident on Amazon from, I think, 2015 called Victorian Slumhouse, which is where they recreated a Victorian slum in London and then they made modern people live in it.
Amazing.
And I'm in.
It's incredible. And they like, they have to, it's really funny because they make them do Victorian slum jobs, such as like fishing for eels in the mud. And then, but then they make them go out on the street of modern London and try to sell the eels for tuppence or whatever. It's so good. And they sort of like stratify these people by class. So like they all live in the slums, but some of them are forced to just like eat shit and like never, like never succeed. Like they just, like there's this one family where they just like can't, they're the ones that have to sell the eels. And then there's like another family where, and like no one buys the eels. And then they're like, okay, sorry, now your kids don't have shoes or whatever. And then like the producers are just torturing this one family. And then there's another family where it's like the dad is a tailor. So then in the next episode, they get like a bigger slum apartment. And then there's another family that's a single mom and two kids. And they just like leave the show after the first episode because they're like, we can't do this at all.
Good for them.
Yeah, that would be me. That would absolutely be me.
So good. And then there's like a whole part where they make the kids go to school. Because the rich people of London are like, the kids shouldn't be working in their father's tailor shop or whatever. So they make the kids go to school. And then at school, they're like, kids should learn a trade. So then the kids are just like sewing at school for no money. And they're like, can we go home and help dad? Incredible. I learned so much.
Is that legal? Is this show legal?
It's such a good question. I ask myself every episode because like the children are hungry because they're like, yeah, we didn't sell enough eels. There's no food this week.
Jesus.
I know.
It's England, so maybe.
I don't know how they made it. I don't know. Who can say? But I enjoyed. Who can say if the children consumed food? But I enjoyed consuming the episodes.
And that's I think everyone listening is sold on it.
I'm literally going to check this show out like and just put it on while I work the rest of the day.
Yes! You'll love it if you're me.
Oh my God.
You know, I'm going to give you some quick homework. Obviously, you need to make sure you're caught up on The Crown because we get our final season. The last part of all of it is out this week. So I will be drinking and watching that decadent, wonderful show this weekend and tweeting through the end of it.
I hope it does it have the part where they the first person they called was the fake trachea doctor, because that's a thing that he just said in the documentary.
Yes, he did say they did not include that that what? They called the fake trachea doctor and he could have saved Princess Diana, but
he got there.
He just got there a little too late. That was not included in the crown. They should have, but we'll, but you know, maybe there will be a reference in this last part. They do get into Kate Middleton meeting, you know, what's his face, the bald one. We'll see. I also am going to ask you to keep watching The Curse. We're going to be talking about that in a future episode. Below Deck Mediterranean is still going. And guess what? I have some controversial opinions because I am no longer Team Captain Sandy. And listeners, I know that's a big one. That's a big twist for you. You two don't have any idea what that means.
I have watched 5 to 6 episodes of Below Deck and I loved it. But
it's
I
a
don't
great show. I am obsessed with Captain Sandy spinoff. And Captain Sandy, we're not friends right now. I'm not loving what she's doing this season, even though she is my hero, my icon, my mentor. But I just, girl, I need you to calm down a bit and not kick everyone off the boat because they did a shot with some, like, but we'll get into all of that. Lindy, Megan, thank you so much for joining me. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at the Lindy West, or you can subscribe to my Substack, which is called, unfortunately, Butt News. Which I
How
named.
How do I follow that?
I named it before I thought I would ever use it. And then now that's the name. And now a bunch of people follow it.
What are you going to do? I only have normal handles. Social media handles. You can follow me on Instagram at important MEAGAN. That's where I'm at. And many you links can, to our podcast.
Please
are
follow
at all
our
of those
podcast.
Locations.
Our podcast is called Text Me Back, and it's really funny.
Go listen to Text Me Back. Thank you so much for joining me. TV Club, you have so much to watch and listen to because I just told you listen to podcasts. So hot. But thank you for listening to me. We'll be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.